Okay, this is Sunday morning, October the 2nd, 2022. A teaching. This is called Being Content. Okay, we're going to look at a couple of scriptures first. The first one is Philippians. Chapter 4. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Okay, with that, turn to Hebrews 13:5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Well, this is how the Lord started it out with me. It's a story in 2 Samuel concerning David, and we're going to go over there and read that. This is 2 Samuel chapter 23. Verse 13. Now he's with his mighty men. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto the cave of Adullam. And the troops of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in an hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the 3 mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he could not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these 3 mighty men. All right. Let me kind of get this straight, exactly what the Lord spoke to me this morning. David was longing. He was yearning for something. And someone, those 3 heard it, and they took off and put their lives at risk to get it for him. And when he saw the great sacrifice they did, he decided to pour it out as an offering unto the Lord. And this is what the Lord was saying to me. When there's things in your life that you don't like, and you begin to yearn, and you begin to wish it was this or wish it was that. In other words, anything but content. See, what does content mean? It means whatever state I find myself in, I'm happy in the Lord. Not, well, it'll get better when I have this. Well, let me tell you about when you don't have very much and when you have a lot. All the stuff that goes with it, it's not all good. It follows you. In other words, the devil will see to it. If you are incontent in the circumstances you find yourself in now, if God gave you billions, you'd find yourself in the same circumstances. You'll find yourself in some way to not be content. And this is what the Lord said to me. What's your thinking patterns of always yearning for greener pastures? yearning for this to be over, yearning for it to be that way, yearning for it to be that way. He said, pour it off, pour it out as a drink offering. That's in anything, whether it be in your appetites, going and buying things you don't need, just buying up stuff just because you got, I just want to, you know, whatever. I'm not happy. Learning to be content where you are with what you have. Instead of, well, one day I'll be happy when things are right every way I want them to be. No, you won't. See, sufficient to each day is the trouble thereof. I'm thinking, Lord, I hadn't really perceived that I'd been doing that, but I think I have in some areas, like back whenever, you know, when things seemed to be going well, how nice it was. When every day seems to be a struggle. All right, let's keep going here. David denied his flesh. He took the thing he was lusting for and gave it as a sacrifice. That's in food or anything else. You could apply this to anything that's causing you to maybe overindulge. I'm drowning my sorrow in this box of chocolates. It's an analogy. We all have our ways that we do these things. But if we really understand that we're in His Majesty's Secret Service, that there's not anything that we've given up that He won't give back to us. But I think He's also looking above all is to be happy, be joyful, even when we're in the circumstances we're in. I mean, anybody can be in circumstances and go around singing, "Nobody knows the trouble I've seen." Does anybody want to hear it? No. All right, let's look at some more scriptures. 1 John. The grass is greener till you get over to the other side and you find out it's worse over here than it was over there. 1 John 2, verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So it's like the Lord saying, be happy and content in me. And what does it cause you to do? It causes you not to enjoy where you're at. And I believe God wants us to get to the place that we can be happy and content in wherever we are. All right. I wanted to read that in the Amplified. It was really better. Look it up here. That's why I brought this. All right, 2:15. Do not love or cherish the world or the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, that's craving for sensual gratification, and the lust of the eyes, greedy longings of the mind, and the pride of life, assurance in one's own resources, or in the stability of earthly things. These do not come from the Father, but are from the world itself. The world passes away and disappears, and with it the forbidden cravings, the passionate desires, the lust of it. But he who does the will of God and carries out his purposes in his life abides, remains forever. I think I'm going to read this in a few more too. All right, because of lack of it has we in this society we live in, because it's been lack of. Because of what they've done to us, they've stolen from us. Whether it be your insurance going up, or your energy bills going up, or the food costs. It's like they're picking you to death like an old sitting hen. That's what it feels like. And that can get you disgruntled and looking at things the wrong way to who our real source of supply is. Taking a thought saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? In other words, we got to learn to keep our care cast. All right, because of the lack of, we've been programmed. That's why we heap up, because we've been programmed to have lack. I'm thinking, when you're in full provision and you know nobody can take it from you and you'll never run out, would you act that way? No, you would not long for anything. You wouldn't have a care for anything. All right, go to Exodus. This is 16. See, we're going to have to learn new ways. Just like the last teaching was about coming out of Egypt, you know, our Red Sea moment. Well, it wasn't just the Red Sea moment. They had to learn God's ways. They were under the system. They were slaves. They were on welfare, socialism. Verse 1, and they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai. And on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt, and the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They griped and complained while they were in bondage, and now God's brought them out, my miraculous hand. Now they're griping about that. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, at even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, saying to all the congregation of the children of Israel, come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, at even you shall eat flesh, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And it came to pass that at even the quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning the dew lay round about the host. And when the dew that lay was gone up, behold, upon the face of the wilderness there lay a small round thing, as small as the hoarfrost on the ground. And when the children of Israel saw it, they said one to another, it is manna, for they wist not what it was. In fact, it actually means, what is it? And Moses said unto them, this is the bread which the Lord hath given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded. Gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents. Okay, let's keep going here. The children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. And when they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, let no man leave it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth with them. Let's keep going here, 17. I mean, we laugh at this now, but this is what we're coming into. Understand? Things are changing. Things are going to change. And then the congregation, this is 17, of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord in Pitch and Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said unto them, "Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?" Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto this people that they almost are ready to stone me?" And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river. Take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee upon the rock in Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Yeah. And he called the name of the place Massah in Meribah because of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" A day is coming, and God wants us to get ready in this mindset now. That's what he said here. Isaiah 65:24. That's the only way I have to read that, because it describes it perfectly. Where we have had lack before, we'll have provision. All right, 65:24. "And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are speaking, I will hear." Think about that. Think about having no, coming out of this stockpile mentality where we better gather up while we can because there might not be any more, or whatever this kind of stuff, the way we've been used to living. Being unhappy, disappointed, not content, into a time where all you have to do is, before you even get it out of your mouth, it's there. God's provided. It's there. This is the kingdom here. You can read Isaiah 65. It says, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Dust shall be the serpent's meat. There shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." All the yuck's going to go, from what I understand. All right. Paul said this. This is 2 Corinthians. I hope I'm relaying this to y'all the right way. Sometimes the Lord gives me stuff and I'm going, okay. What's that mean, Lord? 2 Corinthians 9:24. It's no 24. Okay. Let me look at 1 Corinthians 9. Like I said, this was given to me this morning. And I was hurrying, trying to get back when Jackie came. I was just looking up scriptures. 9:24. Yeah, that's it. This is 9:20. It's 1 Corinthians 9:24. "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize, so run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, but so fight I not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body, and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." What's he saying here? Someone that's content. Do y'all see that in this? Someone that's not yearning for this and yearning for that, anything to make it better. Except being content in God and where He has you, what He's doing in you. It's kind of just walking in the Spirit and not walking in the flesh, what we've already read. Self-control, it means self-restraint or continence. Don't let your lust, don't let things get in the way. We use things to pacify, to get us through. And I'm not saying that it's not okay to do those things, but the Lord does not want us yearning, moaning, griping. Well, one day, people that walk by faith walk like they have it, right? And if we walk like we have it, we'd be acting like we didn't have a problem in the world, right? This is the message I believe the Lord's conveying. Don't think you have to do things to fill in. I'm going to leave it there. But you come to your own conclusion about it. Yeah.